So, Mason, I mentioned before that as you were sitting on the horse, to bring us back over to the Barovian map, when you were sitting on the horse, looking outwards, the nightmare that had been left for you, looking outwards, there was this, you know, huge cloud of what looked like ravens headed toward you. Then you heard those three, then there were these three, actually, no, you didn't hear the harp notes, I shouldn't say that. You didn't hear the harp notes, but... you don't know that it's simultaneous to that, but then you heard this sort of flapping above you, and this whole cloud of what look like bats are headed towards the ravens. Now, these are all very high above you and at some distance, so it's not like you can go jump up there and fight with them.
I thought all of us on the map heard the harp note.
I don't believe you did. You were outside of the castle, remember. You're still outside the gate. The people in the castle heard it.
Yeah, you're going to wait for the forces to come and then...
Oh no! I know. I got that part. I just thought that I don't remember there being a.
Yeah, I don't believe so because you're outside.
They're like 2 miles away as the crow flies.
That's fine. Oh, you mean the ones above my heads, the bats and the ravens?
So high above you, so lovely.
Yes.
So So you see those things heading towards each other, and I don't know. So I will leave it to you.
Well, I'm going to look at that and go. That's quite interesting.
They don't.
There's like nothing I can. Yes, please don't shit on my head. Thank you. It'd be nice. So there's not. They're just fighting each other above me.
Well, it's unclear. The bats are heading rapidly towards the ravens, which are heading rapidly towards you. The ravens you might have expected as one, you know, level of the army that you're expecting here, but the bats is not. You didn't. Yeah. That's all
I feel like maybe I should take a slightly evasive positioning, maybe not directly underneath them when they start fighting. Is there somewhere where I can stay pretty much in the vicinity?
Well, actually, it looks to you like the bats would intercept the ravens if indeed they are going to fight. The bats would intercept the ravens some distance from you because the bats are going to get there. The bats are basically past you when you first notice this, so the fighting isn't going to happen right over your head. Although
do the ravens in any way... No, sorry, I interrupted you.
What? Although it's possible that the ravens are, you know, that the fight could move back in your direction for sure, but it's not going to start over your head.
Is there any way... I might mess this up, it's been a while. Am I to assume that these are the ravens in raven form ravens?
I mean, there's no way to know for sure. You just know that all the ravens you've encountered thus far have been generally a friendly disposition. But
them's ravens are so raven. So
yes.
Trent's going to murder me through the screen.
I'm
the Zoom call.
I'm waiting for the line from Godzilla. Don't let them fight. I'm just waiting.
And now the ravens go to war. Different line. But yeah, that's... now the ravens go to war. Yes, I'm going to let them go do their raven thing, because I've not a damn thing I can do to help them from where I'm at.
You also, as you're standing there... Actually, make a perception check for me, please.
This is going to end well.
Now, this is whether you can hear the battle call of the ravens, which you probably should be able to, or versus the battle call of the bats, which is ultrasonic, so you wouldn't hear it anyway.
Oh, that.
You just hear it as your brain explodes.
Glad that's all clear. Yes. I'm glad that's been all cleared up. Perception check, correct?
Yes, perception. Just look at that double 28 you just rolled, Trent.
Yeah, let's see this first amazing roll of the evening. 19.
Oh. You do hear the flapping as the bats head towards the ravens, but you also hear something else, and it is the sound of footsteps.
Your own death. No, what?
Footsteps on the road in front of you, some distance from you, through the forest. If you look, you can see that you're at those gates, remember, that are the gates that lead to the path that leads to the castle, because it is a little bit of a distance
with
from
the
castle.
Statues.
That had the big statues above it.
Right.
That's right there. And then you've got the forest that's sort of on either side of the path that proceeds. And coming from somewhere in here, you hear a number of footsteps that are moving towards you at a fairly quick pace. Doesn't sound like running, but it sounds like maybe even marching. It's not quite that military, but there's a number of footsteps that you see.
No, I'm going to turn my horse around to face it, and I'm going to have a hand ready on my sword, and I'm also going to ready my sword with Rite of the Silver Surfer, or whatever the hell it's called.
That's interesting, and I... You accidentally summon Galactus, and the game's over.
Yeah.
So,
what is this surfboard thing? Yeah, Rite of the Storm. So okay. My health is now... 83.
Okay.
The marching, is there the sound of like seven dwarves singing hi ho? As there
hi ho, it's off to a clear.
And I'm gonna set that as wait, which two did I take? I took Curse of the I should have. Oh, it doesn't say here. Damn it. It's Rite of the Storm and Rite of the... Where's the other one? Rite of the... You know what? We're going to use Rite of the Storm because that's the lightning one.
Okay. All right. So you have the Rite of the Storm up, and are you just... You're poised to, like, use it on whatever emerges, or you just...
No, I just...
Have
I have the weapon sheathed, but I'm holding on to it, and I actually... I'm holding... one hand is on the my long sword, and the other hand is on the hilt of the fire sword.
Okay. So... As you're looking down, the footsteps get louder and louder.
Actually, one hand should be on the reins of the horse, probably. Okay. So I'm going to have one hand on the sword, one hand on the reins.
Emerging from sort of right around the curve of the forest so that you can now see them emerging from a distance, you see a group of very strong, I think I can actually use the word doughty, warriors in front of you. And as you look down in the moonlight, it looks familiar to you, actually. You see the knotted muscles, and you see the kind of curve of the shoulders and the axe. And then you hear, like, you see the person at the front, and then you see the, you kind of look down, and you can kind of just catch what looks like might be the glint of the white teeth of the person's smile. And then whoever is at the front just books towards you, like is just running directly at you. After what looked like a big smile.
Screaming, this is best in life!
Wait, what is it that's running towards me exactly?
This person, whoever it is. Knotted muscles. You can't quite make out the face details yet because you're still a little bit of a distance.
Tremendous amounts of insecurity. Like you said, very doughty. Just overcome with doubt.
Not that kind
of. Does this person look familiar to me at all? I thought this was somebody.
Maybe. As the person gets closer and closer, and the face gets larger and larger, and you're sort of staring down, and you know you have your at your hand of the your hilt of the sword, and then all of a sudden, you realize that there's only one character that you've met that runs at every problem.
No matter how many.
And breaking up over the last little hill, you see it is none other but your friend Kallax. Who is running frantically towards you with his axe held high. And he's
by an amber golem.
And the horse just rears up and just smacks him in the bed.
And he yells behind him, come, come. And they're sort of running towards you.
But we're not supposed to go in yet, right?
Right, he's just running towards you.
Yeah, and I'm sort of like, I'm putting a hand up and saying, wait.
So he.
Stop. This is like Calvin telling Hobbes, wait, no, don't tackle me.
Wait, this isn't. Not yet.
So
not,
he.
Yeah.
He catches. It seems like he catches sight of your hand only at the very last minute. And probably a normal horse would have been spooked by this,
but
of course,
this one doesn't care.
This one doesn't care. And so he kind of, almost literally slides to a halt right before and looks up and says, ah, it is you, Mason. I see we have come in time. Friend behind me have brought rest of tribe. And you can see, like, puffing up behind him are the rest of the barbarians that you recognize that you met previously in the Amber Temple. Probably about 8 to 10 of them all looking, they've got their sort of muscles, are bulging. And they've got something which is a little different about it. What did you say?
Stop teasing.
You also, right, and they all have, fur and it. Anyway. They run.
That's not stopping teasing. That's continuing to tease.
Oh, my fault.
There's a difference.
Low hanging fruit.
Don't do that.
So as you're looking at them, One thing that you notice is very different, actually, Mason, is that they are their faces are heavily painted in a way that they were not before. And in fact, their arms have been covered with this sort of dark blackened green paint. And you can see even that the sort of his eyes, even as they kind of gleam, this may be one reason you couldn't see his face. Now that he's close, you can see who it is, but it's sort of covered in this black and green paint as well. And
it just came off the latest episode of Drag Race, didn't they?
Yeah, right, sure. and they have, and he comes up
very tough,
says,
they gotta be ready.
And he says, "We have brought, I have brought rest of tribe. We have left two behind to guard the children. When Raven come, explain you need us. We have not many in numbers, but are strong in spirit. We will crash through the doors of the castle and destroy all who wait." And he sort of, for the first time, notices that no one's behind you, and he says, "Where is grandmother and rest?"
"Destroyed them."
"Don't you?" I am all that is left. I absorbed their power. I absorbed their power, and now I am Strahd. Thank you for coming. Shall you come to dinner?"
"I am Strahd's son, Streed." All right.
"No, I am Strahd's son, Creed." Anyway, so I look at all of them and I go, "Don't worry. They are all on their current task. And we shall have ours soon enough. But we must wait. We will wait for the signal. And then we will go in together, arms held high, and fists clenched, ready to strike Strahd and any that get in our way." And he sort of turns to everybody else and he says, "If you're looking to get in your killings today, you have come to the right place. And I will need all of your arms and legs and swords today. For this is the day where Strahd meets his end."
Riding the horse back and forth while you're doing this speech.
Exactly.
"If you end up in a baby a day!
If you end up in a field!"
This is only the first group, so he has to do it every time.
I was just gonna say, he's doing that at just... Arrived. Right, and the way this works, as
this
we all know...
This is what a leader does.
It's right at the very end of...
"And I will be
this...
right there with you!"
Right.
Poor motherfuckers are going in without me. This is
right
just
at
like
the very end of the speech, as you finish it, of course, the next group comes up. Like, oh, man.
And, anyway. "But do not worry. There will be more coming. And we will have our day with Strahd. Are you all ready?"
And they all sort of, rah, they seem like they've got game face on. Like, they're very determined. Like, they hear you and they're like nodding. A couple of them are like pounding each other in the arms, like, you know, that type of thing. But Kallax says, in a sort of lower voice, as low as is possible for Kallax, says,
"Mason, we are ready. Prepared for what comes. But you talked of others. Behind us, we heard there were steps of others, much lighter. We saw some torches, and I caught sight as we crossed over the hill of a few of them. These do not look like warriors to me, Mason. The others, I mean."
"Perhaps not. But they will fight for their freedom too, as anyone who wants freedom would."
And he sort of nods. And with that...
"And they will need your help as much as you will theirs. We will all be fighting the same fight, and we will win together."
He nods and he says,
"Back in Kresk, near the village, we spent time with the children that grandmother had sent us. They are frightened, but we taught them several things during our few days with them. I taught the one that I was there of strength, courage. That one can now run through small, little wooden boards, very proud."
And he kind of nods. He says,
"If given time, if Strahd found them in,"
and he does this sort of mental calculation,
"a number of years, then they could fight him safely."
And he sort of nods proudly.
"Hopefully they won't need to, friend. But you forgot one thing. Fear can be a powerful weapon too. And I would not expect anyone in this group, any of my friends or anyone else coming over that hill, to not be in some degree afraid in some way.
Hmm.
But there is one other person who will also be afraid this day, and that is Strahd himself. We will make sure of that. Now please, keep your friends, your tribe, your clansmen focused and ready. Do not let them hurt each other before we hurt the actual enemy. And as you said, for those who are coming around the bend and are coming with bravery but perhaps not as prepared as you and your kin, welcome them. Welcome them as allies to fight shoulder to shoulder with you. And I promise you, they will fight well.
And he nods as if maybe slightly uncertain, but willing to, willing to go along with what it is that you've suggested. You now can hear for yourself these footsteps sort of coming around the edges of this. And as you do this, as I turn off the nightlight that I don't want from Windows, thank you. And as you do this, you see coming around the same bend before, not coming with the same rushing of purpose, however, is a group of indeed much smaller and slimmer, but still humanoid, presumably human figures, most of them carrying torches. And as you look, Mason, and you can see them kind of walking up the hill towards you, there is one in front of them who leads with confidence. He is clad in leather armor. There is a sword by his side, He has a torch in one hand, and there is a shield on his back, or a small round shield, although you can't tell what the design is from here. And he is leading this group of people up the hill. The rest of the people, though, look to be, for want of a better term, kind of the typical people you might see in Barovia, which mm-hmm. means there's a lot of people with sort of peasant clothing, tunics, like just sort of ragged tunics with ragged pants. And you can see quite literally some of them are carrying, yes, pitchforks and torches. You can see that some of them have with them just sickles. One or two have scythes. There's a couple that have like a couple of hammers even. And there's a group of maybe 20 to 25 of these that walk up. And as you can see at the front of them, sort of medium blonde haired in the moonlight is the man in front. And he comes up and slows to a stop, and he bows his head slightly, and he says, "We have come, sir, as you had asked us to." And you realize you are looking at Ismark the Lesser, Burgomeister of the village of Barovia. And he says, "I have brought those that I could. There were not many, and there were a few who were both willing to do what I had asked and willing to come this way with any kind of safety. These are the people of Barovia," and he kind of indicates them, and they all sort of look around nervously. You notice a lot of them are looking nervously at the barbarians. They're all kind of like, look uncomfortably at that group. And for your part, as you kind of let your eyes go over the barbarians, you can see, Mason, that the barbarians are kind of grumbling to each other, presumably at whatever they don't see, from the villagers. Some of the villagers also are quite young. There's a couple that are maybe teenagers, 13, 14. But despite all of this, you can sort of get a sense that their hands are gripped around the, shaft of their hammer or their wood axe or their pitchfork or whatever. But they're there, and as Ismark looks back at you, he says, "They are perhaps not the most battle-hardened warriors that you will find, but they are committed. They have traveled many miles on this night. They go, they think, to death. But I have told them that the death they face on their feet is better than the one they will receive on their knees in front of Strahd. And you must know they have fought every part of their fear to come this far. It is the best I can do, but I hope it is something."
every single person who stands against Strahd today will inevitably help in the greater goal of defeating that great evil that sits in that castle. I thank you for bringing who you could. And I thank all of you for standing up to make such a huge sacrifice that if we should succeed, will stand as a great testament to whatever happens to us today. Should we succeed, those who come after you will not have to live in a world of fear, a world of treachery, a world that does not care for how you live through it. If we succeed today, the future we build for Barovia hereafter will hopefully remember us for every single sacrifice we make to ourselves, to each other. Every one of you here, look at each other. You are the ones who will make the difference today. You are the ones who will change things today. You are the ones who right here, right now, are saying, this is where we draw the line. Here. This far. No further. And, and you will go...
Demetrius.
Line must be drawn here. What are you saying?
And you will do what needs to be done. All that I ask is that you do it for Barovia. You do it for the reason you believe to be the truest to yourself, to your friends, to your kin, to your family, to everyone. Do it for this land that you care so much about. And it will protect you, no matter what happens. Now, for those of you who are here, some of you are seasoned warriors and some of you are not. Those of you who have the most expertise amongst us, stand close to the front. Those of you with lesser experience, stand closer to the back.
Okay, so the...
Otherwise I'm going to forget it.
Okay, that's fine.
And look to one around you. One stronger with one weaker. Look out for each other. Stand with each other. And make sure you go in and come out together. This way, you might even surprise yourselves. Those of you who might be seeming to get in a little over your heads, figuratively and literally. But remember this. No matter what happens to us today, we go in together. We come out together, one way or another. We stand and we fight for us and for Barovia.
So, as you're talking to them, you see them kind of moving into the positions that you had suggested. The 10 barbarians, including Kallax, all take like one big step forward and kind of look around with their arms
crossed. Oh yeah, they're our front line.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And most of the villagers kind of don't do that. They kind of sort of gradually drift slightly back. There are two exceptions though. One, of course, is Ismark himself, who steps forward to, you know, the rest of the group and basically steps up with the next to the barbarians and nods at you. And then there is one other lad, maybe of 13 or 14. Again, you don't fully kind of recognize exactly who this might be. And he steps forward. He has this determined look and... and actually, Ismark looks a little, like, surprised that he steps forward and is like, Kefner, he says, this is not your fight. And the aforementioned Kefner looks up, kind of a little wide-eyed. You can see he's sweat, he has sweat running down his face, you know, in the light of the torches and everything, and he says,
well, begging your pardon, sir, but that thing in there killed my dad, and my mom's sick. I'm not gonna let them die, let her die too. And I've fought before, sir. I killed a wolf once with my very own hands, and I got the scar to prove it.
And he kind of proudly shows off the scar on his left arm, which looks like this kind of decent-sized bite, you know, on the left side of his arm. And Ismark says,
I know, but this enemy that we are facing is more... It's stronger than that, Kafner. You should go with the other villagers, and you will be instructed as what to do. And he says, no, sir! By right, you're my leader, and this gentleman here...
And he kind of indicates you, Mason.
But I'm not going to stand in any back line, sir. I'm going to be out front. And if I go first, so be it.
And he kind of sets his feet sort of shoulder length apart, stiffens himself, and lifts his chin slightly in the way that only 14-year-olds can successfully do when resisting authority. And stares directly
so
at him.
I step down off the horse. I sort of make my way over to Kashmir, is it? No, Kefnir, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Kafner is what he described himself as.
Kafner?
Yep.
But where's D. Kafner? Where
is Hugh Kafner. No, it's Hugh Kafner.
Hugh Kafner. I sort of walk over to him and I say, may I see that arm of yours? Kafner, is it?
And he nods. He says, oh, yes, sir. And he holds up again his left arm proudly.
I take his arm out and I sort of grab it with a little bit of force, but not enough to frighten him, just sort of like, you know.
You see his face kind of just slightly like kind of like it hurt, but then he's like, nope, you know, stiff upper lip, like not gonna, you know.
Sort of get down on, you know, onto his level, and I sort of like, that is a hell of a scar there, my boy. Definitely gave it what for, I see.
He nods.
You stand and it does not. Bravery is very noble, very coveted personality trait. It is important to be brave. It is important to stand for what you believe in. It is important to fight a fight that you believe in, that you believe you can win. But you know what's as important as bravery? I take my hand and I point my hand up here. Intelligence, strategy, planning, and knowing how to fight so that you can win. Now, bravery you have, and I sort of point right at his heart. I can see it. It's practically emanating from you. But I also need you to be smart. Remember when I said the strong should help the weak, and those who can fight should assist those who do not know how to fight as well.
He nods.
Do you remember, boy?
He nods.
You are your mother's fight partner in this war. You stand with her, and she with you. You the stronger, she the weaker. She needs you to defend her, and those around her. Should you fall here, she will have no one to protect her, and then she will have to fight alone. I do not wish that upon her. I do not wish to take that link away from her. And it is a fight you should fight for her, with her, and stand and fight next to her, and protect her. You are all she has left. Can you do that for me? You fight alongside her and protect her so that she can raise her head high with you when this battle is won. Will you do that for me, my lad?
Make a persuasion check for me, Mason.
As you were going through that, and you're like, remember when I said that, you know, the weak, the strong must take care of the weak, they fully expected you to say, you're the weak. And I am the tyranny of evil men. I was waiting for it. I was like, wait a minute, he's not well.
I'm trying, Ringo. trying real hard to be the shepherd. What did you want me to make? Persuasion?
Persuasion, please.
Oh god, this is not a good one for me.
Let's see what happens. Roll 20.
I'm going to give you +2 to this, actually, because you're standing right next to a flaming horse.
+2?
Wow, not for the speech, because it's for a flaming horse.
Speech is also good. It's why he got the persuasion in the first place.
See?
Boom! Wham! Wow!
Like
there
I
is
said.
Nothing. There is nothing more demoralizing than having a great RP moment and have it completely and utterly trashed by,
those of you at home,
by shitty rolls. It was a
you tell what, them. A 20, you tell them.
Yes. So
it was a natural 20.
It was a natural 20 that
natural
he just 20, got.
It. So it was a 23.
The boy's eyes kind of widen, and you can see just like the faintest glint of maybe a tear, and then he kind of blinks and kind of.
Yes, sir. You're right. I'll do what I can for her. I'll follow orders. But don't send me back, sir. I'll follow orders here. I won't stand in the front then. But don't send me back. I don't want to wait for something to jump out of the night, sir. I saw you when you and the others went through the village. I was there when you came out of Death House. I saw. None of the others did. They said that I was lying, but I wasn't. I saw it, and I saw you went off, and then I see you now.
And he kind of nods, sort of half impressively, half fearfully towards the horse, you know, kind of like,
and I see that you went after them, sir. You didn't let nothing hold you back. So I'll do what you say. I'll follow orders, but don't send me back all the way, sir. Please.
And Ismar kind of looks at you like,
You have endless amounts of spirit. And I don't fully believe that it is misplaced. But I want you to think about something for a moment. Lad, have you ever seen a chessboard?
Yes, sir. I've actually played a little bit of chess, sir. I'm not very good, though. I used to
when
play
you play
with
chess,
my
go
dad.
Ahead.
I used to play with my dad before he was killed, sir.
Oh, forgive me, lad. I don't mean to bring up bad memories of sad times. Although, on that note, I would also say those memories are priceless. You should hold on to them very dearly and use them for strength and not sadness. But think about a chessboard, lad. Two rows of pieces, all moving forward. But not all the pieces move forward all the time, do they?
No, sir.
Some of the pieces have to remain where they are. And those pieces play an integral part in the battle, do they not?
Yes, sir.
Their defense, and their resolute defense, is sometimes as strong, if not stronger, than a powerful offensive. Are they not?
Yes, sir.
So think on this. If I were to ask you to go back, could you possibly think of it not as me sending you back away from the battle, but toward a strong defense, towards a position that needs to be defended, toward a place where your part in this potentially bloody and dangerous chessboard is integral to the victory at hand? You must protect the king and queen. Those are the most important pieces on the board. And you being there will play that part. I do not want to throw away a pawn so needlessly. And there are many, many years left for that pawn to eventually become knighted. Or even greater, for it to become king himself. I need you there. To make this defense strong. so we can defend each other. Do you see what I'm getting at, boy?
Yes, sir, I think I do. All right. If that's what I need to do, then, well, I'll do it, sir.
We all play our part, and we must all play it to the best of our ability. Yours is to stand strong, and should some of us fall, to keep growing, and to keep fighting, and to defend your home. And I know you will.
He nods, oh, sort of...
Castle! Castle, boy! Castle!
That's not how you do it! It's illegal when you do it there!
He,
Left side!
So he nods sort of solemnly, and he takes a few steps back and starts moving towards back down towards the road. And Ismark looks at you and says, I could not dissuade him to come. To stay. He insisted on being part of this, and I could not blame him, but I'm glad that you said what you did. His loss will be worse in the years to come. Now, I do not know that he would stand much against Strahd. There's one further group that I think you should know that was behind us, at least one that we saw on the road. Very quiet they were, barely visible in the moonlight. And they seemed to make no effort to come closer or fall farther back from us.
But all we stayed... the twig blights you didn't kill. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, right. But we stayed on the road as we had been instructed. I assume that they are part of the forces that fight for Barovia. But Strahd has many servants and spies. In any case, I thought you should know.
Those are the wine dudes... potentially
not necessarily.
I'm trying to remember the other part. Like it's all a jumble in my head. Like which parties? We
well, that answer.
I'm not asking you to answer that question. Okay. I mean, I know I said
the answer actually comes to you anyway, because as you've been talking, you notice that a last group has emerged from the woods and is moving up the hill. These are moving, however, very silently, very quietly. They carry no torches like the villagers do. They are not sort of running towards you full speed like the barbarians did. Mm-hmm. They are moving quietly and some would say...
Duskily?
Maybe elfily up towards you. And as they arrive, you can see that there are indeed about 10 of these dusk elves in front of you. These are dressed mostly in black cloaks and tunics. They have, you can see, knives at their belts. A couple may have swords. They look certainly far better equipped than, let's say, the villagers do, but they are not equipped like warriors as the barbarians are. And you notice that although there are, as I say, 9 or 10 of these Dusk Elves, and you recognize, Mason, some of these from the camp south of Varrakai, you may remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You recognize some of them, but Casimir is not among them. It's just 10 Dusk Elves here. And one of them comes forward and has this, you know, kind of puts his hood back. And so you can see that he has this dark, long, shining hair that comes down to about his shoulders, slightly angled eyebrows, and he bows slightly and he says, I have been bid by Casimir to tell you that the Dusk Elves have come. We are here, as was the stated goal. The prophecy, it seems, may be fulfilled. None of us, and he kind of looks back at the Dusk Elves behind him, who all stand silently. None of us expect to see another dawn, but we will gladly sacrifice our time here so we may strike a blow against the greatest darkness in Barovia. Our daggers, our experience and help is yours for what it is worth. And they all, as one, as he says that, all as one sort of throw back their cloaks, and you can see that there is a shining symbol of what looks like a crescent moon on each of their breasts. And even like the barbarians are all like, oh. Like they all quiet down, and they're kind of, and the villagers too, and a few of them whisper to Ismark, who kind of, you know, sort of like, because it's very, you know, very few of them have seen Dusk Elves, and certainly not a group of them looking like this.
I am, and we are honored to have you here, and we thank the Honorable Casimir for having you come. This is going to be a very difficult day for all of us, but I do believe we can come out of this victorious. I must say, I am quite impressed by your presence here. I did not expect to see you, but it is a happy sight indeed. And I have a request. Will you take the line behind my friends here, and I point to the barbarians here. They will open the door. I need you to make sure it stays down. We take out whatever follows behind it, so that we, together, can make our way directly to that point between Strahd's chin and his breastbone, and make sure it never stays shut again. What say you to this?
And the Dusk Elf lowers his sort of nods several times and says, Casimir instructed us to follow our own consciences, and I and my brethren here have come of our own free will. We have pledged our weapons and our lives to your cause and to the cause of the defeating of Strahd. If you wish for that door to remain open, then it shall be, though we lay down our lives defending it. I am called Raonis. When Strahd took his vengeance against the Dusk Elves for rebelling against him before, it was first my wife that he killed. I have never forgotten her voice. And I have sworn an oath that though I may never see or hear or speak to me again in this or any other life, I will let Strahd's death cries drown out those I remember from her when he killed her. And so, yes, we are pledged to your service. And you can see the elves around him kind of like straighten, and the barbarians, one of the barbarians is like, oh, this is impressive. Like they're very impressed, like that's
good. I reach out a hand to him to shake his hand,
and he clasps it, you know, does the
that's what I was going for too. And I hold it quite tight and I say, use that, hold on to it, you will need every emotion that we have as living, breathing creatures to get from where we are to where we must be. We must make a path directly to Strahd, and once we are there, use whatever breath we have left to be victorious. That is the only option we have. And as I say that, I let go of his hand, and I sort of walk back down to the front again, and I look at everybody who's here, and I just kind of say, you all do not believe you will see another sunrise. Perhaps we may not.
It is Barovia, after all.
But there is one object in this land that can brighten even the darkest corners until that day arrives. And it may come sooner than you think. And he pulls the hilt out. Mm. He puts all of his emotion into it, and he just puts it right in front of him. And asks it to come alive.
So the sword, for a moment, nothing happens. And then the sword flares into life and sort of flame outlines its edge. And you can see for a moment the reflected sort of the light of the faces around you. Kallax and the waiting barbarians, Ismark and the villagers of various preparations and ages. And of course, the Dusk Elves standing there with Raonis in the front, all their faces kind of illuminated by the light along the blade. And there's kind of a, you know, a moment of just sort of as if everyone takes a breath.
And holds it out over above the heads of everybody and just passes it over and passes it back, takes it down and asks it to turn off for the fire to go back inside the hilt.
And it does, although the humor parts is that it doesn't actually go out and it just keeps standing and flaming, but no, it does actually
exactly.
go out.
Exactly. It burns the ground around me. It's like, fire, fire.
never mind.
Yeah.
But it does.
And when it's out, he takes the hilt and he points over to where the ravens and the bats are. We can still see them fighting, right?
Yes, by this point, the ravens and the bats have done this, although now as you're sort of pointing in their direction, Mason, you can see that the bats seem mostly gone, as do a few of the ravens. And you see the remainder of the ravens are swooping low, coming pretty close to you as if they're coming into land.
The battle has already begun, my friends. It's up there over in the skies above us. And it will not end until we walk out of that castle one way or the other. Some may walk out, some may not. But I will promise you this. When the time comes, this bright light from this very sword will shine once more. And at that moment, we will make our way into the very blackest pits of hell. And we will take back this land. We have no other option.
So they kind of nod approvingly, and there's a sort of grim determination you see as the birds.
And I turn back towards the birds, and I'm watching them come. And as soon as I finish saying that line, I walk over towards the horse.
Okay.
And I'm watching the birds, and inside, deep down inside my head, I hear, and deep down inside his head, he responds to the sound with, actually, the way he hears it, oh, right, I fixed this, so it's different.
You've never quite done anything like this. Always a hunter, but never a leader, innit?
And he says back to the voice, I may be scared shit to save you, but I'm gonna lead these men. We're gonna do what we came here to do, one way or the other. We will succeed. Both you and I will do our tribe. What do you say to that? And all you hear in the back of his, all he hears in the back of the head is this.
Bring them on.
And right. As that happens in his head, Mason just goes like this. Without trying to show any of the fear that's like physically manifesting inside his body.
I like it.